celebrating 25 years on the air. This is Budweiser's weekday sports beat on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
Notre Dame has defeated Louisville 104-101 in five overtimes.
Run! Brian Stavisky! It's the ball game, and the Irish will play for another day!
But to the Notre Dame family, I can't say anything except I've been blessed.
The Penn Kingsman 5A state champs.
I think anytime you have a team with Skylar Diggins at the point, you better not count us out.
The Indianapolis Colts select Quentin Nelson.
Charlie Weiss's tenure as Notre Dame's football coach has come to an end.
South Bend, Washington has etched its name into Hoosier hysteria history.
Out of the 160 minor league teams, South Bend will be the best.
Brady hits. Demetrius Jackson.
Score, Marshawn! 4-2 Bruins.
Brian Kelly, the new head coach at Notre Dame.
They score! Notre Dame, 3.7 seconds away from a spot in the national championship game.
The Clay Colonials win the state championship. They are living a dream.
Enrique Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Your hosts are Eric Hansen and Darren Pritchett.
Welcome to a brand new week of Budweiser's weekday sports beat from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. I'm WSBT radio sports director Darren Pritchett alongside Eric Hansen, the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune. Sports beat brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some buds. By the dental offices of Dr. Jeffrey S. Mader, providing beautiful smiles and exceptional dentistry. And by DPM Events. Visit dpmevents.com to get everything you need to make a successful corporate event. Coming up on the program, some Notre Dame football news. Unfortunately, not the type we like talking about, but we'll give you some details on Javon McKinley being arrested early Sunday morning. We've got our quick hitters. Notre Dame took down Georgia Tech in men's college basketball last night at Purcell Pavilion. We have an Ask Sports Beat segment coming up at the bottom of this hour at 5:30. And all you have to do is phone in at 574-282-2696, ask a sports-related question to Eric and I, and you go into a drawing. And chances are very high you're going to win a prize tonight because we have a handful of tickets to give away. We are going to give away four packs of Notre Dame hockey tickets for the Michigan-Notre Dame game at the Compton Family Ice Arena tomorrow night at 7:30. Can't beat Notre Dame-Michigan, right? Even if they're playing Twister or chess or Hangman.
I would like to see them play Twister.
That's right. It's always entertaining. So we have 3 4 packs of hockey tickets to give away and 1 2 pack. So we need 4 winners. So get your question ready for Ask Sports Beat at the bottom of the hour at 574-282-2696. Tickets are still available for tomorrow night's game between the Irish and the Wolverines, their final regular season meeting of this campaign. Question of the day is coming up, the My Five. Kyler Murray is picking football over Major League Baseball. We've got rapid fire and more, and we're done at 6:45. We have some college basketball coming up tonight here on 96.1 WSBT. Winter weather advisory in effect until 7 a.m. Tuesday for Indiana counties, Elkhart, Kosciuszko, LaPorte, Marshall, St. Joe and Stark, and Berrien and Cass in Michigan. And that same winter weather advisory in effect until 10 a.m. tomorrow for St. Joe, Michigan. Those are some of the details that we have weather-wise on this Monday. We begin with Javon McKinley, and I'm just going to take some information that Tyler James put out at NDInsider.com earlier today. Notre Dame wide receiver Javon McKinley was arrested early Sunday morning, according to a public arrest record. McKinley, a junior, was arrested by University of Notre Dame Security Police on suspicion of battery to a public safety official and resisting law enforcement, the arrest record says. Now, McKinley has not yet been charged with a crime. The arrest occurred at 4:47 a.m. Sunday. As of this afternoon, McKinley was still in custody and bail had not been set. Eric Javon McKinley has always been a player a lot of fans ask about, highly thought of coming out of high school, has made zero impact on this Fighting Irish football team, and this puts him in a very awkward situation. No charges as of yet, but a guy that is already deep down the depth chart, this does not help his situation on the football field for Brian Kelly's Fighting Irish.
Well, it doesn't. Now, we need to let things kind of play out, but the initial reasons why he was taken into custody, you know, that it can turn into a felony, you know, when you assault a police officer. So we don't know that he's done that, but
no charges yet.
This is very serious accusations. So for me, I will say this. I've met Javon, which is unusual for a guy that hasn't played much. I had a chance to meet him at a charity event. Really liked him and really like him. And this is not something I would expect from him. I've corresponded with his mom through social media and really enjoy the family. So I'm, you know, hoping for a very clear resolution to this. But yeah, this is, you know, very, very difficult circumstance, and we'll see where it all heads.
Eric, 3 games in 10 years for Javon McKinley at the University of Notre Dame. There didn't appear to be really a window moving forward for him to get on the football field. Now, we'll see how this all transpires, and if he is still on the football team come the spring, he's got a ton of work to do because he's been passed by a lot of guys the last year or so.
He has, you know, I think in an indirect way, Miles Boykin leaving for the NFL gives him a little bit more of a chance because my sense is this is what's going to happen, that Chase Claypool will move over to the boundary receiver, but that Kevin Austin will move out of there. He'll move over to the other side. And then Javon McKinley would technically be your number two guy there behind Claypool and ahead of Micah Jones and Cam Hart. Now, it may play out differently, but that's kind of how I see it going into spring. But he hasn't played a lot. He was a very highly recruited kid out of California, very productive as a high school kid. Hasn't had any behavior problems up to this point, but he's a kid that, you know, when you look at depth charts and so forth and people are counting down to 85 scholarships, he's one of the people I'm sure people speculate about. But sure, that doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean he's a guy that's looking around to jump into the transfer portal, which again, I think the X-Files music should play every time we mention that term.
All right, so once again, Notre Dame wide receiver Javon McKinley arrested early Sunday morning on suspicion of battery to a public safety official and resisting law enforcement. Still in custody as of this afternoon. Bail had not been set as of yet. So that's the latest on Javon McKinley. Now let's get to some quick hitters as we get sports speed rolling. Notre Dame basketball picked up their third ACC win with a 69-59 win over Georgia Tech. Plenty more on this coming up in a couple of moments. But the Irish got the job done against Georgia Tech. They got going offensively in the second half, led by T.J. Gibbs. Only 2 points in the first half, but came back with 18 in the second half, helping the Irish beat Georgia Tech by 10. Fighting Irish head coach Mike Bray.
I think it was about the 8-minute media timeout of the first half. I told our guys, I said, we're going to win the ugliest college basketball game in history, but it's going to be a league win. So let's just keep playing. And obviously we got into a little bit better rhythm, and we were in a better rhythm in the second half. And I thought we defended well enough and actually rebounded well enough. And nice night for T.J. Gibbs, who obviously could use a nice night to jumpstart himself.
And there's no question about the end of that statement. T.J. Gibbs needed to have one of those nights. More so, the team needed him to have one of those nights. We'll discuss more on that coming up in just a couple of moments. Also in our quick hitters, Indiana lost at home to Ohio State 55-52. Andre Wesson on a slip screen dunked home the game-winning points with 20 seconds left. Horrible defensive rotation by Indiana in that sequence. And Romeo Langford, I thought, made a couple of bad plays in the last couple of offensive possessions, hurting IU. They are now 4-9 of the Big Ten. They have lost 9 of 10. Bloomington, hello. The Irish women's basketball, what's that?
It's a number I never thought I would hear with Indiana basketball in my lifetime.
But they're in a rebuild. That's what we've been told by the AD.
Are they young? I'm sorry.
When they beat Marquette and Louisville, they weren't in a rebuild, were they?
Wow.
And all of a sudden they start losing, and now we hear they're in a rebuild, and they've closed down the borders. Maybe that's not a good thing. Irish women, boy, they crushed a ranked Florida State team, 97-70 at Purcell Pavilion. Arike Agumbawale had 27. Jessica Shepherd had 26. Notre Dame is at Boston College Wednesday at 7, and they'll enter that game with a happy head coach, at least offensively. Here's Muffa McGraw.
I was really happy with the offense. I thought we had a lot more movement today. I thought we got into a little better rhythm. We were able to get the break going because we rebounded better, and I was overall pleased with pretty much everything that happened on the offensive end. I thought Arike looked like her old self. She shot the ball really well. Jess did a lot of really good things. So it's great to feel like we kind of got it back a little bit. Just really got to fix the defense.
Have to fix the defense. They played a lot of zone. Florida State in the first half moved the ball and got some good looks from three, and they knocked down a couple. At least keep it fairly close early on. Then the second half, forget about it.
Notre Dame fell to number 6 in the most recent poll, and this game probably kept them from falling any more than that, but they've got to play themselves back into a number 1 seed.
First time they've been out of the top 5 in 31 polls, and Florida State lost by 27. They went up 3 spots in the AP rankings.
There you go.
Of course they did. And the Blackhawks hammered Detroit last night 5-2 at the United Center. They've won 7 in a row all of a sudden. And Chicago now just 4 points out of the final Western Conference wild card playoff spot. The West is wild right now. Anything is possible. Those are some quick hitters. 18 minutes after 5 o'clock. Eric and Darren with you. Ask Sports Beat coming up in 12 minutes. Get your Sports Beat questions ready. We'll answer anything from the world of sports. A little bit more on the Irish and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets from Purcell Pavilion last night.
Gibbs now driving down the lane. Jump stop runner off the glass and in, and he gets fouled. TJ Gibbs will go to the line to attempt the three-point play. Now to Gibbs. Gibbs had a breakaway and lost the dribble. Down low, Durham. Durham out to Gibbs for 3. Got it, and somehow that's justice. 36-33. Notre Dame leading by 3. Mike Bray smiling.
Well, the Irish got some shots to fall in the second half, and they actually pulled away from a really good defensive Georgia Tech team and posted the 69-59 victory. In the 6 o'clock hour on Thursday, I spent a little time with Sean talking about this Irish basketball team, and I really just laid out some thoughts that I think it was time for the media to stop calling this team young. The reason why, if we continue to say young when things go bad, you're blaming the freshmen. And I think that's unfair. I don't think we're meaning to do that as a media group. But in a roundabout way, you're basically saying they're losing because they're young and they have a bunch of freshmen playing. My point was Thursday, if you get your couple of veteran players playing well, the freshmen can relax. They don't have to try to do so much. They can do what they need to do. And everything sort of falls into place. And we referenced on Thursday that going into the Georgia Tech game, that TJ Gibbs' shooting percentage lined up with his freshman year when he was playing half the minutes. He had an outstanding season last year as a sophomore. The shooting woes has really carried through this entire season. And my point was, if you can get TJ Gibbs playing at a TJ Gibbs level that we expect, going along with what Mooney has done this year, and by the way, he had another double-double last night, this team could be competitive with anybody. Now, that's not saying they're going to beat Duke or Virginia, but they can be competitive if you get Gibbs playing at that level that we expect, couple that with Mooney, and then if you just get one of the freshmen playing okay, Eric, you're in pretty good shape. And you know what? That's what happened last night. Gibbs played at a Gibbs level in the second half. You had Mooney had a tough night shooting. They had some big guys inside that caused him some trouble. But you know what? You look at the final numbers, and he still did some damage in this game with 11 points and 14 rebounds. Hub had a nice game with 13. Harvey stepped up. He had 18. I hesitate putting him in the veteran category, although on this team, he's an old man, it seems like, as a sophomore. But back to the original point. TJ played really well last night, especially in the second half. Not just scoring, but he set up teammates. He had 5 assists. He had some really good passes that sort of slipped through the conversation more times than not. And the funny thing is, you pick up the South Bend Tribune, you go online, you listen to this show, you listen to TV anchors giving the highlights, and what's one word nobody used after last night's game?
Potato. No, young.
Young. You know why? Because their old guys played well and they won. And that was the point I was making on Thursday. We need to stop with the young talk. Yes, they have freshmen playing, but let's point the finger. Let's point the compass in the right direction. If this particular person and this person starts to play better, all of a sudden those freshman guys can be themselves and relax and just do their part. And I really think that unfolded last night. So to me, this is what the doctor ordered. The team got a huge boost from Gibbs. And that just really, I think, makes this team look totally different. Because we know he's capable of being a really good player. He was a really, really good player as a secondary player. Now he's more of a primary player this year. And I'm sure he has put a lot of pressure on himself to be good this year. I don't know him, not around him as much as some of the other media members, but there's no doubt I'm sure he's putting the world or the weight of the world on his shoulders. Now, I know he mentioned in Tom's article, and by the way, Tom, I thought wrote a very, very fair piece in the South Bend Tribune about Gibbs, and I know TJ responded to it on Twitter saying, you know, that they're close. He mentioned we a lot, but I just like the response TJ had. Didn't get off to a great start last night, but he got going. And one thing I love late in the game, and that was the highlight we used a second ago. He took it to the rim. He didn't back off. He went strong. He put it off the glass and in and drew a foul. You get more of that, more ACC victories are coming. So I just thought the narrative turned in a very positive direction last night. We're not talking about a young team today. We're talking about a team that had a great performance from one of their older guys. And that allowed the young guys to do their parts that probably was expected coming into the season. Hub's coming. Hub takes care of the basketball. Now, he's had some rough shooting days against zone, but you can see the progress he's making. He's not turning the ball over. And you know what? As a freshman point guard, I'm okay with that. You take whatever offense you can get along with that, but he's not turned the ball over. And Eric, that is a huge positive for this basketball team. Leshefsky played a big role in last night's game, had some open looks from the corners. You know, they all didn't fall like you wanted. But again, I think the freshmen kind of fell into the roles last night because the older guys on this team did their job. And the narrative is totally different today than from some of the losses we've had throughout the season.
Will it continue?
Well, that's your answer. You're supposed to come up with all those complete answers.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he had a great game against Georgia Tech in the second half. That is a positive.
Yeah.
Now, what happens when they play Virginia on Saturday? The team that strangles you defensively. Although Georgia Tech's really good defensively, the Irish figured it out in the second half. It's a tougher challenge at Virginia, no doubt. But again, I'm not saying that if all this happens, they're going to beat every team on their schedule. I'm saying they're going to be competitive with anyone. Yeah, they may not beat Virginia, teams like that, but there are winnable games coming up, and if you get Gibbs and Mooney going together and one other guy scoring, there is no reason why they can't win a handful of games the rest of the way. Now you just need to see it. You can't stop at one game. Because I don't want this narrative to come back. I really enjoyed reading and listening to coverage today because we didn't hear that nasty word. We were talking about, man, TJ was really good helping this team pick up the victory. And the freshmen can now do their thing, which I like.
Right. Well, again, the difference between this Virginia team and last year's is they have the offensive firepower, yeah, too.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah, they're really difficult.
We all remember 12-0 a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
At Purcell Pavilion. They can't beat Duke. They've lost twice to the Dukies, but Virginia's a great team. But you know what? Maybe this is the start of something for TJ. It's been a long year. It's been a rough year for him because he's got high expectations. The shots haven't fallen. There were three times in that game yesterday he was taking 25-footers with 7 seconds or more on the shot clock. I feel like there's a better shot there, but two of them he got fouled. So it actually worked out in a roundabout way. All right, so more on the Irish coming up in just a little bit. We'll step aside. We've got Ask Sports Beat coming up next. We'll take your questions on anything in the world of sports. And we have a bunch of Notre Dame-Michigan hockey tickets to give away to people who phone in. So your chance to win tickets coming up next. If you'd like to jump aboard, be first in line to ask your question, you can do so during our commercial break, 574-282-2696. That's 574-282-2696. I cannot talk today. I apologize. I'll slap myself a couple of times during the break, and hopefully I'll be better. More Sports Beat coming up next from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. All right, we turn the program over to you. Another installment of Ask Sports Beat. If you have a football question, basketball, hockey, whatever the case may be, we're taking your phone calls right now, 574-282-2696. Ask Sports Beat gives you the opportunity to win Notre Dame-Michigan hockey tickets for tomorrow night. It's a 7:30 face-off at the Compton Family Ice Arena. We have a bunch of tickets to give away. We have 3 4-packs of Notre Dame hockey tickets for tomorrow night, and we also have 1 2-pack for tomorrow night. So we will take your phone calls for the next little bit. If you phone in, very good chance you're going to win tickets, because normally we don't get by more than 5 calls or so in a segment. So phone lines are available for you right now, 574-282-2696. Our producer, Jerry, lining up some calls right now, but we have a couple of phone lines open if you'd like to join us. Another story that I did not put in my SportsCenter update because it's not really local in nature, but we saw that the Cleveland Browns today signed running back Kareem Hunt, who was the Kansas City Chiefs running back, who was waived by the Chiefs after an incident that took place involving a female. He has had 3 incidents off the field, and that is under investigation right now by the National Football League. And the Cleveland Browns have decided to sign Hunt. Now, there was conversation that the Bears might be interested right after the season ended, but Cleveland has decided to bring aboard this guy that has a lot of baggage hanging over him right now. I'm not sure this is a guy wanted in the National Football League right now with 3 incidents looming, including 1 caught on video. And anytime a female is touched, that's absolutely disgusting. And that's the type of guy, to me, I wouldn't want my football team to sign, be perfectly honest.
I would agree with you.
And Cleveland's a rising team, a lot of good things going for them. Their general manager was with Kansas City, and he drafted Hunt coming out of college, so he is giving him a second chance. Whether it's deserved or not, that's a story for another day, but that was just disturbing to me today to see that that guy's got a job in the National Football League. I just feel like we should have a higher standard. But the Cleveland Browns will try to get something out of Hunt and make it, I don't want to say a positive, spin it into a positive story because the damage is done. But maybe they can help him be a better citizen, and that would be a step in the right direction. All right, so Ask Sports Beat. Our phone lines are open, 574-282-2696. Let's take our first call, and it's Mike from Elkhart. Mike, how are you doing this evening?
Doing good, guys. Hey, I just was at the Notre Dame game last night, and it was that first half was pretty ugly. And I don't know. I know this whole rebuilding thing, and I wanted to know your opinion. And maybe it's, I haven't been able to listen to you for a while. Maybe you guys talked about it. But in my opinion, with such a run of winning the ACC tournament and back-to-back Elite Eights, how could this coaching staff not spin that into back-to-back-to-back-to-back recruiting classes? The talent out there just isn't there. And I'm interested in your opinion of that, because I feel like there's no reason after that run to be in a rebuilding mode like we're in right now. Your thoughts?
Okay, very good. Mike, we greatly appreciate the phone call. Now, from our football conversations, you know, Eric, I'm not a big fan of the star system, but it does at least offer a small way to label a basketball player or football player's talents. Now, TJ Gibbs was a four-star coming out of high school. John Mooney was going to play at Florida. And when Billy Donovan left, he walked away from Florida. So Mooney was a three-star, but we know Florida's won national championships during the Donovan era, and Mooney was going to go play there. DJ Harvey was a four-star player coming out of Mike Bray's favorite place, DeMatha. You know, we've seen the injury bug hold him back. I think he still needs to be more aggressive, and he was a little more aggressive last night. Dane Goodwin was a four-star. Doherty was a three. Leshefsky was a four. Carmody was a four. So we're seeing a lot of four-star type players come into this program. We heard coming into the season, this is Mike Bray's best ever freshman class. And I did mention Prentice Hubb. He was also a four-star.
Right.
Coming out of high school.
By Rivals, the number 18 recruiting class.
Okay. So going by what the recruiting gurus say, recruiting has been very, very good. For whatever reason, the pieces have not fallen into place this year. The shots have not fallen like we have never seen from a Mike Bray team before. We just documented the struggles of Gibbs this year, which has put the team in a tough spot. Mooney, I think, has exceeded all expectations. Gibbs is on the other side of that conversation. And you've got, I think, Harvey is kind of the one piece that we're still waiting to see what he can become. Great scorer in high school, had the serious knee injury and rehab last year, got a late start to this season. I have personally given him the benefit of the doubt that give him another year away from the injury. Will he look different at the start of the 2019 season? That's a great question. I can't wait to see the answer to it. So, you know, the recruiting has been there. The ability to hit shots this year has not been there. I think defensively, they've been okay to win a lot of games. But when one of your captains has been unable to play at his expectation level and our expectation level, it puts the team in a very, very difficult spot.
Okay, let me ask you this, because you follow them a lot closer, and I'm looking at the individual rankings for these kids. Harvey was number 51. Hubb was in the top 100. Dane Goodwin just out of the top 100. Robbie Carmody in the top 100. Do you feel like some of it is Mike's philosophy that he constructs his teams to excel when they're older, so that they're not really in that gear when they're not there? You know, I think...
But they're not turning the ball over.
Correct.
They're doing things that young teams are not supposed to do. They're right. Supposed to turn it over like crazy. This team is not doing it.
Yep.
Eric, to me, they just haven't hit shots. I mean, you look at all these games, open shots. They can't hit them. In high school, they hit shots. For whatever reason... Mm-hmm. They're not falling at the same level at this time.
Gibbs is
the mystery.
Shooting has gone down.
He's shooting like his freshman year. His numbers line up almost exactly.
Yeah.
And had a breakout year last year.
Right.
So there's no doubt he is more of the sophomore TJ Gibbs than what we're seeing this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's no doubt in my mind. But the numbers are showing you that here's a guy that can really knock down free throws. He's not getting to the line enough. I mentioned he took those 25-footers last night. Unless the shot clock's really rolling down, I just have never felt like that's a good shot. Now, in Mike Bray's world, that could be a good shot.
Right.
I'm not speaking for the coaching staff. That's just my humble opinion.
Okay. But Mike's question was, why haven't they taken advantage of him recruiting? And by the numbers
they have,
by the performance on the court, they haven't. But by the numbers... In the recruiting game, they have.
I don't know if this person would want me to say their name, so I will not. But I specifically, yesterday at the game, asked someone who knows.
Okay.
Is this freshman? Because I don't follow basketball recruiting. That's one thing I just don't have time for. I focus on other things. So I let other people tell me the answers.
Okay.
I said, is this freshman class overrated? And they said, absolutely not.
Interesting. Okay. There's your answer, Mike.
All right. So the numbers show there's some really good bodies on this team, but for whatever reason, it has not led to victories, and their inability to shoot has really put this team in a tough spot. Mike, we greatly appreciate the phone call, 574-282-2696. We have a couple of open phone lines and more Irish-Michigan hockey tickets to give away tonight. We have a chance for four winners tonight, 574-282-2696. Let's go to Jason in Mishawaka. He wants to talk a little Fighting Irish football. Jason, how are you this evening?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing okay.
My question is about the wide receiver that got arrested last night. And I was just wondering, if given the scholarship limits the team is up against, do you think he's going to be encouraged to transfer maybe, or is he, you know, to play somewhere else?
All right, Jason, we appreciate the phone call.
I think it really would depend on what happened with that case. What are the particulars of the case? There's been, let's say, there was a case where Will Mahone really was over the top in an arrest in Ohio. He's a running back slash wide receiver, and he was eventually dismissed from school. There was another case where Tommy Reese had a run-in with a police officer. The charge was reduced. Tommy stayed on the team, and things went. So I don't think it's going to be something that has to do with where their scholarship number is. I think it has to do with the severity of the crime. And Will Mahone's were, I mean, he was in the felony territory, which is really difficult. And Notre Dame, it's not just a football issue. Then it becomes a Notre Dame issue with, they have a new name for it. It used to be called I can't even remember, but it's their disciplinary yes. arm of the school. So they would have to not only deal with the legal system, they have to deal with Notre Dame's disciplinary arm as it relates to that. So I would say, let's just wait. Let's pump the brakes a little bit because I want to give him a chance to see where this goes. There haven't been formal charges yet. Once we have formal charges, if there are, then we will have a much better idea.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. Greatly appreciate the phone call. We'll put you into the drawing for Notre Dame-Michigan hockey tickets. The Wolverines and the Irish play tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Compton Family Ice Arena. Tickets are still available. If you'd like to check out this Fighting Irish hockey team taking on their old arch rival, the Michigan Wolverines, a team they met in the national semifinals last spring. Let's go and take another phone call from Mike from Mishawaka. Mike, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How are you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Got a question about Rex Pfluger, and if you think it's really a good idea for them to bring him back next year or not.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. You know, this has been talked about a little bit just amongst media members. It's been an interesting conversation. My first reaction was yes, because A, he's the best defender on the team, terrific glue guy. Offensively, he's not going to give you 20-point games consistently. But I just think back to that Purdue game. They put him in a different role down at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. He was the facilitator for the offense, and he had 10 assists before that ACL surgery. You know, to me, and I think this is a really interesting question Mike brings up, and I've kicked this around a little bit with other media members. To me, it makes more sense to have Rex on this basketball team because he can be a part of next year's team. It's a glue guy, senior leadership. We've seen the leadership he's provided since he went down with an injury. I think my bigger question is, where does Jogo fit into all this? A guy that has not played very much, and with the reduced numbers, Mike has given him an opportunity. He has started a couple of games, was pretty quiet last night. Is he a guy that's just helping them win games now? And then when next year comes around and everybody is back, does he slide into his old role of being just deep down the bench? Or does Mike see Jogo now as a guy that can help the team win next year? You never want to give up on a season, Eric. I think you agree on that. I mean, it's not like you can gain a better draft pick or anything like in professional sports. College is a whole different ballgame. So is Jogo playing ahead of freshmen, maybe stealing a few minutes here and there? Is that good for next year's team? And I don't have the answer to that yet because I don't have a feel for what the coaching staff thinks Jogo's role is going forward. So is he just helping them win now, or is he really a part of next season? To me, that's maybe my biggest question, maybe more so than the Pfluger conversation.
Well, I like the idea of Rex coming back. I like his leadership. I like the fact he led Notre Dame in steals last year. He was second in assists. Wasn't a great shooter. And kind of inconsistent on offense, but could be a really good defender. Mm-hmm. And you're not, by bringing him back, you're not committing to playing him 38 minutes a game.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You have to compete for your playing time. And, you know, I think Rex would be willing to do that. So I'd say bring him back and then just see how it plays out.
Okay, Mike?
Yeah. Where does Carmody fit in all this, though?
Boy, it's interesting. He started the first game.
Right.
And then,
I mean, if you bring Pfluger back, doesn't it stunt the growth of Carmody, Goodwin, Harvey?
No, I mean, Harvey's going to start anyway.
And you may, Mike, play a deeper team than Mike Bray has done before. He may use more bodies in a deeper rotation. We're not used to seeing that a lot from Mike Bray, but that may be the best way that team's constructed. And if you get, let's say, Rex Pfluger's a 20-minute guy as a fifth-year senior, if you get really good defense from him and he helps move the ball around and gets people good shots.
And, you know, Mike, I think the one thing, just to play off what Eric said, the players are going to decide who plays.
Right. Oh,
definitely. If somebody or a couple of guys play better than Rex, I mean, Mike is not going to just play Rex just to play Rex, but I have a feeling Rex is going to have something to say about that. But it's an interesting conversation.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. 574-282-2696 is our number. Let's go to Rick from South Bend. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Dan, thanks for your show. I always appreciate you guys keeping us informed about Notre Dame sports.
Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll just kind of make my statement and my question, and then I'll let you answer and get off the air. But it looks like for Notre Dame football that it might be realistic to say that the defense might take a slight step backwards next year because the guys were losing on defense, and then the offense might, you know, kind of take a slight step forward. But my question would be, and I know it's initial, and we're all going to process things more this summer. Is it realistic? They might not make the playoff next year, but would it be more realistic to assume that they've got a good chance to get into the new Year's Bowl six games, so six bowl games? Is that something that you think is, at least from now, what we see realistic for Notre Dame for next year?
Very good, Rick. Thank you. Eric, what do you think?
I think the 2017 and 2018 teams have kind of raised the bar in terms of expectations, and I think Brian Kelly is okay with that. You know, as I look at this team and look at its schedule for next year with road games at Georgia, Michigan, and Stanford, I kind of see a 9-3 type team, maybe capable of getting to 10-2. But to be honest, this year I saw a 10-2 team that outperformed that. So a lot of it is going to be determined on those pieces on defense and
the quarterback position.
The quarterback position. And, you know, I think your assessment is, if you look at them on paper right now, offensively, if you can find a running back, the offense is going to be better because the offensive line will be better. I think the wide receiver depth is better. I think Book will be better. That's what I'm assuming. On defense, it's going to be, your strengths are at different spots. You were really strong up the middle last year, and then you lose Julian Love now. All of a sudden, your strength on defense is going to be what, Darren? Defensive ends.
Line.
Yeah, the defensive ends are going to be really good. And you're going to be really good at safety, and with the potential to be decent at corner. And then linebacker is really where you got to find some answers. And they might, you know. I mean, there's a lot of numbers there. There's a lot of talent there. There's not a lot of experience there. But I think if you just roll in the two oldest players at linebacker, I don't think that you're necessarily going to get the best linebacker. So spring football is going to be fascinating for me to watch. But just looking at what Georgia has, looking what Michigan has, you know, I'm kind of thinking a 9-3 type team, which gets you to the verge of New Year's Six.
If they can take care of their schedule, there'll be no complaints about Notre Dame making the playoff next year.
Exactly.
Everybody will stay quiet. That will be one heck of a few road victories over some really good competition if they can pull it off. But I'm in the same ballpark as you. There's a lot of questions. I know what you said about the offense could be better. I'm going to be a little more hesitant because you still got to find that running back, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
The quarterback position faded down the stretch. And can they develop another wide receiver to be a marquee guy? I mean, Claypool.
Well, they have to.
Well, Claypool has never turned into an elite wide receiver. He's a really good wide receiver, but he's not elite. So is there anybody that can really step into that very, very good role or possibly elite role to help this offense?
I think it's got to be Kevin Austin. I think Kevin Austin has to make a big step up, and I think he has that in him. And then I think one of the younger guys, Lindsey or Keys, has got to be a big part of that rotation along with Michael Young.
And I'm going to sound like a caller on the old Game Day Sports Beat when Bob Davey was the head coach. They should throw it to the tight end more. It's not a bad option.
That's a really good option with Mr. Komet.
All right, very good. Rick, thank you so much for the phone call. So everybody that phoned in gets hockey tickets. So Mike from Elkhart, Jason from Mishawaka, Mike from Mishawaka, Rick from South Bend, you've got Notre Dame, Michigan hockey tickets. And our producer, Jerry, will be contacting all of you in the next 10 minutes or so. So be prepared for that phone call. We'll let you know how you can get your Notre Dame hockey tickets as they take on Michigan tomorrow night at the Compton Family Ice Arena. And tickets are still available for all remaining home games at 833-ND-IRISH. That's 833-ND-IRISH or und.com/buy-tickets. And on Tuesday, Notre Dame is hosting Michigan. And don't miss out on the Valentine's promotion, Eric, which includes two tickets along with a concessions voucher to redeem for a souvenir popcorn and two soft drinks, all for just $50 in the mezzanine club level or $40 for the upper bleacher package. The mezzanine club includes the option to purchase beer and wine. You can visit und.com/buy-tickets. And then this Friday, it's going to be the Irish having a green out. We've always had a white out. Eric, we're going green like the football team as we take on Wisconsin, and fans are encouraged to wear green clothing and will receive a green T-shirt and a green pom-pom. All supplies last. Tickets are still available. And looking way ahead, March 2nd, Jim Cornelison, the voice of the Blackhawks, the anthem singer, will be back to sing the anthem at the Compton Family Ice Arena on March the 2nd. Again, tickets at und.com/buy-tickets or 833-ND-IRISH. You got to take care of your Valentine tomorrow. We will have that Valentine's Day type game against Michigan a day early. You have something for me.
Do we want the update for Javon McKinley now?
Absolutely.
Tyler James and Lincoln Wright from the South Bend Tribune are reporting that Javon has been charged with three misdemeanors, two counts of battery after reportedly punching two university police officers, and then also illegal consumption of alcohol. He's 20 years old. And if you go to ND Insider right now, you can read the details of what led to his arrest.
Okay, so let's go through that one more time. Javon McKinley, Notre Dame wide receiver, charged with three misdemeanors.
Correct.
Two battery, one illegal consumption of alcohol.
Correct.
And so at this point, has bail been set, have they said?
I am not seeing that.
I'm not either.
Let's see. I'm not seeing that right now. But at least we know what the charges are and what led to it. So the good news for Javon at this point is misdemeanors and not a felony when it comes to battery with the police officers.
Okay, officers reportedly told McKinley they wanted to get him out of the cold, but he tensed up and tried to leave in opposite direction of his dorm, according to court documents. The officers said they identified themselves to McKinley as campus police, but were unable to gain control of him. In their efforts to restrain McKinley, he reportedly punched both officers, according to court documents. He was eventually restrained with the assistance of Notre Dame firefighters, who also responded and was transported to St. Joseph County Jail.
Right.
That's from IndyInsider.com.
Right. He had arrived back on campus in an Uber, and he was unresponsive, and then the officers tried to wake him up, and that's when all this happened.
Okay. That's the latest on Javon McKinley, the Notre Dame junior wide receiver. Get the latest right now at IndyInsider.com. Tyler and the staff updating the story as they get details. And, of course, more coming up from the South Bend Tribune tomorrow. It is now 5:56. Sports Beat continues next on WSBT. Eric, what's coming up in the South Bend Tribune tomorrow?
Tom Noe has a column on Washington High School junior basketball players DeMarcus Vaughn and Jalen Perry. Notre Dame football, Javon McKinley arrested, the latest on that. We have the hockey caps king head to Michigan Notre Dame.
Wow.
And much, much more.
Thank you, Eric. Back in a moment. Top of the hour, WSBT South Bend.
Celebrating 25 years on the air. This is Budweiser's weekday sports beat on 96.1 WSBT. The sports leader.
Notre Dame is moving on to the Elite Eight. Taylor, he stopped. Notre Dame wins.
Luke Leitner and Smallbone have been the catalysts for South Bend St. Joseph's.
Jalen Smith verbally committed to play football at Notre Dame.
And Notre Dame is going to Omaha for the first time since 1957.
Rebound, run wall, middle. Score!
Congratulations, Tom, on the championship.
Thank you. We brought one back to South Bend, finally.
Ryan Newman, Roger Penske, win the Daytona 500.
Leitner going to try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC.
Can't express how sorry I am towards Matt Tye.
And the White Sox have won the World Series.
I don't pay a damn bit of attention to what people on the outside say, because I understand none of them, though.
York now, in front, Ogletee, they score! They score! Notre Dame to the Frozen Four!
The Colts of Indianapolis win Super Bowl 41.
The Fighting Irish are national champions in 2001. Notre Dame! Notre Dame! Notre Dame is the national champion!
Is that the play that will seal the playoff bid for Fighting Irish?
Here are your hosts, Darren Pritchett and Sean Stiers.
6:07 at WSBT, the second hour of Budweiser's weekday sports beat, brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some buds. By the dental offices of Dr. Jeffrey S. Mader, providing beautiful smiles and exceptional dentistry. And DPM Events. Visit dpmevents.com to get everything you need to make a successful corporate event. Weather-wise, winter weather advisory until 7 a.m. Tuesday for the Indiana counties, Elkhart, Kosciuszko, LaPorte, Marshall, St. Joe, and Stark, and Berrien and Cass counties in Michigan. Winter weather advisory until 10 a.m. Tuesday for St. Joe County, Michigan. That's the latest weather news, as we're going to get a little bit of everything, it looks like, over the next 24 hours.
Why not?
It is February.
Yeah, I know. That's
it is the Midwest, and we have to be prepared for the ups and downs.
A friend of mine recently moved from here back to Nebraska, where he's from, and he was making some Facebook comments last week about, oh, come on, I moved out of South Bend. Come on, you know, weather and all this. And I'm like, it's not like you moved to San Diego. You're still in the Midwest. It's still winter in Nebraska.
Well, I was enjoying some of those spring training videos that some of the beat reporters for my team were flushing out today.
Ah.
Pitchers throwing and
yeah.
guys running around. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
That's still on my bucket list to go to spring training. It's been on my list for a long, long time.
I did that once. It was actually a spring break trip way back when. And we did, being in Kansas, we drove to Colorado, skied for like a day. And then, because fortunately we had somewhere where we could stay for free. But then we drove the rest of the way to Arizona, and we went to A's camp when Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire were still there. And then we also went to a Cubs game for a day out there. And I believe, I want to say Dave Smith, or for whatever reason, I remember seeing Dave Smith. Ryan Sandberg was obviously still there, but I think that was when Dave Smith was pitching in the Cubs bullpen. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to that someday. Notre Dame hockey needs to create a two-week off week, two weekends in a row. No games, so...
That's what's tough.
That's what makes it a little more difficult.
Yep.
And then you got spring football going on, so it's really tough.
That's true, too.
To get away.
That's on the way.
All right, so let's update this story that has been developing. Our thanks to the South Bend Tribune staff, including Tyler James. They are all over this particular story. And if you go to IndyInsider.com, the latest is now available on Notre Dame junior wide receiver Javon McKinley. The 20-year-old came back to campus, according to reports, in an Uber. I never know how to pronounce that. I don't use it, an Uber. And apparently he was unresponsive in the back of the vehicle. You had some Notre Dame officers attempt to help him back to his dorm, but he reportedly stopped walking. And then eventually, according to court documents, McKinley reportedly punched both officers, had to be restrained with the assistance of Notre Dame firefighters. And there is also, according to Tyler and the staff, the result of a breathalyzer administered at the jail was consistent with the consumption of alcohol, according to court documents. And now McKinley, arrested early Sunday morning by campus police, he has now been charged with two A misdemeanor counts of battery resulting in bodily injury and one C misdemeanor count of illegal consumption of alcohol. So Javon McKinley has some possible tough times coming up here as those charges with two A misdemeanor counts of battery resulting in bodily injury, reportedly to those two officials. And his football career has not blossomed in South Bend like so many thought. Highly thought of high school recruit. He has played in 10 games in 3 years and has not impacted this football team in the least bit. I know we've already had people asking, you know, is he a possible transfer? Is he going to lose his scholarship? Well, it's too early to say at this point.
Less than 24 hours, right? Or a little bit more than.
We have to let the process play itself out. But in terms of what could happen football-wise, I don't think anything has been taken off the table yet. But it's too early to speculate.
Yeah.
The fact is, he was going to have a very difficult time getting on the field this year. And before this even happened, if you were to sit down and jot down a few names, as the Irish eventually will have to get down to 85 scholarships, that's a long way away, I think McKinley would be one of the first names I would write down as a guy that maybe needs to transfer because his opportunities seem to be shrinking, although Boykin departing maybe offers a little help, but the bottom line is he has had his chances and has not taken advantage of it here. So if I were to make that list, even before this happened, he would have been near the top of the list.
Might just need a change of scenery, yeah, irregardless of what happened with this incident. And it's obviously unfortunate. But if you want to look at it, maybe at least the one bright side in this whole thing is he obviously had way too much to drink. At least he was trying to do the right thing and take an Uber home, and it just kind of turned out unfortunate after that. He wasn't behind the wheel driving or anything like that.
All right, so that's the latest on Javon McKinley. You can read the entire story right now. Tyler and the South Bend staff has it all ready to go. IndyInsider.com. More coming up in tomorrow's South Bend Tribune sports section. We'll talk some Irish basketball next as Sports Beat continues on WSBT.
Gibbs now driving down the lane. Jump stop runner off the glass and in. And he gets fouled. T.J. Gibbs will go to the line to attempt the three-point play. Now to Gibbs. Gibbs had a breakaway and lost the dribble. Down low, Durham. Durham out to Gibbs for three. Got it. And somehow that's justice. 36-33. Notre Dame leading by three. Mike Bray smiling.
Jack Nolan with the call on the Notre Dame Basketball Network, heard on WSBT Radio. Last night, the Irish at Purcell Pavilion took down Georgia Tech 69-59. A 45-point second half for Notre Dame against a very good Georgia Tech defensive squad. And a big reason why the Irish pulled away in the second half, TJ Gibbs. 18
Absolutely.
Of his 20 in the second half. He took it strong to the 10 and the little kiss and the foul.
Send it in, Jerome.
He looked like that was tired of his recent shooting woes and got down to business last night in the second half. And there you go. You had Mooney with a night in which they had some big guys inside, blocked a couple of his shots, but still had a double-double. You had Gibbs playing to his capability in the second half. You had a good game from Harvey, and all of a sudden, this team looked totally different.
It really did, and this is the kind of stuff that, you know, like when you look at Gibbs one specifically, as a team, 21 out of 25 from the free throw line, after going 1 out of 2 from the line in the first half, and that starts with taking the ball to the rim, and we saw it from TJ Gibbs, and I'm not a guy who's going to sit here and diagram how you attack a zone defense. Obviously, Georgia Tech plays many variations of a zone defense, but in general, it's something we've talked about quite a bit, that Notre Dame has just been content kind of to swing the ball around the perimeter, and we saw that in the first half. But if you at least start with a probe, a drive, whatever you want to call it, probe and kick, you can get a guy free on some shots. And I think it was early in the second half where Gibbs took it to the hole, where he did the little dish down to Mooney. But hey, you do that, and there were also two guys wide open, one in the corner, Leshefsky, and Hubs up top. So I mean, it can start a lot of different things. We've talked about shot selection, and it was a great way to get things going. And I look back, it's just the fourth time this season Gibbs went 8 out of 9 from the line last night. The fourth time this season, and the first time in 6 games, he's attempted at least 9 free throws this season, which is really amazing when you think about who he was last year.
I'm going to throw a tad bit, just a little bit of cold water on that, because 6 of the free throws came from being fouled 25 feet from the basket on 3-point shots.
Well, okay.
But the point is
that's
accurate,
fair.
But he still was more aggressive. That's the bottom line. He was more aggressive. He got to the free throw line after he took that strong drive. So
even
get
with
to the line however you can.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, even with 6, those are also the only times he's attempted at least 5 free throws in a game this season. You go back to last year.
That's stunning.
I went and looked at his game by game last year. He had at least 5 attempts 16 times.
No way.
Last year. Yeah. So I mean, it's when we talk about the guy we're seeing this year compared to that last year, I mean, I think that kind of typifies it.
That's
right,
good
there.
Research.
It was amazing. We had time today.
Good research on your part. That validates your thought.
That's right.
That's really interesting. And that just shows you the difference.
Yeah. And it was good seeing him. He had a little bit different energy, it looked like, last night as well. And you saw him kind of looking over to Mike Bray a few times, kind of giving him a little cheerleader and getting him going. So that was good, too.
There was a little swagger back.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he's tired of all those shots not falling. I think he was something like 7 of his last 36 from the 3-point line going into last night.
Tom Noy motivated him in the Tribune. Did you read that?
Well, I thought it was a very fair piece.
Oh, I did too. I thought it was really, it wasn't like, I didn't think it was critical at all. It just spelled out, here's what's going on. Here's what he's trying to do.
I mean, what I mentioned Thursday. Let's don't put it on the young thing anymore.
Yeah.
Let's make this about TJ Gibbs playing to his expectation level, and that will take the pressure off everybody else. What happened yesterday? Gibbs played really well. Mooney was okay. He did his part. You needed one freshman to step up. Hub did that, and Harvey played a more aggressive game. And like I told Eric, no matter where you went for coverage of Notre Dame basketball last night, not one time did you hear the word young. because the older guys took care of the freshmen last night.
Right.
And it wasn't about the freshmen. It was about the veteran guys living up to their expectation, and that's all we've been asking. And they did last night, and they look like a totally different team.
Well, now, let's not go too far, because...
I'm going, baby. You
know, I mean, first of all, a win is a win. And when you're struggling, it doesn't matter how it looks. But it wasn't the prettiest of games by any stretch. But
First half was rough.
Yeah, I mean, it was really rough. And it's like, whoa, what is going on
but
here?
But the veteran guys picked it up in the second half, and...
They made the adjustment. That's the biggest thing. We haven't seen those kind of adjustments made, especially from Gibbs this year, but I just kind of we've been beaten on it a little bit. I think more of that. Get into the lane, even if you're not going to drive all the way. A probe, a kick, it break down the defense a little bit. Get some guys open. Search for a good shot. And again, it's been a really good free throw shooting team all season. I think it gets lost because of the fact that one, they haven't had as many attempts as they should have, and two, because of the losses. But with all these close games they've been in, if they can get to the line 15, 18 times per game, they're going to be in it, and I think they're going to have more chances than not.
No reason why they can't be competitive against everybody left on the schedule.
Yep.
If you get those type of efforts like you had in the second half, there's no reason why they can't stack a couple of victories here in February.
Yep.
But it's just going to take those old guys playing at a pretty consistent level. If you can get Harvey, Mooney, and Gibbs going like they were in the second half, totally different basketball team.
Really is.
I mean, it's a totally different basketball team.
If those two can just play consistently, doesn't have to be lights out every night, but something close to what they had last night, and obviously Mooney has shown the consistency. So if those two can be that, it takes all the more pressure off these young guys, and everything they do is icing on the cake, and it just you get one or two of those guys a night who are playing around there. They can take their turns, whichever one they want on any given night. Again, I think it makes for a really competitive team.
Like I mentioned, Eric, last hour, Prentice Hubb is taking care of the ball really well for this team.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting has been erratic at times, but as a freshman, you just want your guard to take care of the basketball. And you know, he's been doing that.
Yeah.
And now you got these other guys scoring. It just takes the pressure off everybody. Totally different team. So Mooney, double-double, number 15, 11 points, 14 rebounds. How about Harvey, 18 points, but also had a season-high 8 rebounds. He's got an ACC body. I'd love to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Prentice had 13 points on 4 of 7 shooting. After the game, Mike Bray, as always, his post-game interview on the Notre Dame Radio Network, heard on WSBT Radio, with the voice of the Irish, Jack Nolan, and his sidekick, Zach Hillisland. And here's what they talked about last night after Notre Dame beat Georgia Tech 69-59.
And our crowd knows, I appreciate it. They know we need them. You know, we're trying to grow and get confident, but, you know, any league win in this league is a good one.
Coach, you benched your suit jacket pretty much before things got started. Then proceeded to have a lot of fun out there. I saw you getting triple threat position a couple times. You were smiling.
I told him before the pregame huddle, I rolled my sleeves up. I said, I'm rolling my sleeves up because we need to get dirty tonight. We're going to get down and dirty. And it's neat to see a group that's worked really hard celebrate. We did last Saturday in Boston. We didn't very much in Miami to come back. And I said, you know, February's a new month. We're 2-1 in February. We're 2-1. Let's work on getting better this week before we go to play a great team on Saturday.
How proud are you of TJ Gibbs? Because we were talking with Rex on your radio show. These guys pay attention and interact on social media. There was a legitimate local article this week kind of calling TJ to task. He felt that pressure, and he stepped up tonight and played maybe his best game of the year when you needed it most.
Yeah, I just think, you know, he and I spent some time together yesterday, and we came into the pit. I said, let's get in the pit, and I did a little shooting drill with him, like I did when I was an assistant. And it was more so just to spend time with him. And my biggest thing was, man, if you don't smile tonight during the game, I'm going to be really mad because I'm going to smile at you. And you saw our interaction throughout. He puts the weight of the world on himself. He knows he's responsible for a lot of these young guys. Not having Rex out there kind of to help has been a challenge for him. But I'm proud of how, and he was he was competing tonight. I mean, you know, he got every loose ball. He got his hands on stuff. He was fighting everybody. So he set a great tone and thrilled for him.
Coach, DJ Harvey, maybe his most in-control game of the year as well. Very efficient, only one turnover. What were you seeing from him that maybe foreshadowed this performance?
He competed harder. He played harder. He dug in more, which is evident by his 8 rebounds. He had a bloody lip. He stuck his nose in there a little bit. And that's one of the things he's got to do and learn as a young player. And Coach Hump spent a lot of time with him Sunday when we got back from Boston because he didn't play very well in Boston. And I thought he's responded pretty good to it. Hopefully we can build on that.
I have made a pledge to make sure that a guy who records double-doubles virtually every night does not get ignored. And Zach mentioned that for a guy who now has an ACC leading 15 double doubles, he doesn't get a lot of calls a lot of times, but he doesn't let himself get frustrated, and he does whatever you need to do. And I don't know if he had rockets on, but that rebound he got in the baseline late in the game was spectacular.
Yeah. He's been amazing. He really has. And you're right, I thought he got fouled a couple times down here early. Anyways, he's got the respect of every coach in this league. You know, after every game, the opposing coach will say something about Johnny Mooney. He's been a great story, and boy, we are riding his energy and toughness, you know, the rest of the way.
Quirky week schedule-wise, you now got 5 days to get ready for a huge challenge to try to beat Virginia at Virginia, but you've got this victory to chew on throughout the week. What can you get done this week?
Well, you know, I think for us, I mean, we felt like with this group, you can still get better. And I think tomorrow we just do skill work. No five on five. You know, what do we do to get better this week? And we need to get a little rest. You know, Tuesday will be our off day. And then we've got a chance to kind of redeem ourselves in the one game this year against Virginia here where we hung our heads and we were disappointed about that. So obviously they're a great team. It'll be an unbelievable challenge. But you got a chance to get better. So, you know, we're 2-1 in February. Let's keep seeing if we can steal a few more.
Mike, thank you.
Thanks.
Irish head coach Mike Bray is.
So there you go. That is the post-game interview you heard last night on WSBT Radio following the game as Jack Nolan and Zach Hillisland spoke with Fighting Irish head coach Mike Bray. I need a timeout. We'll step aside for a second. We'll come back with a couple of rapid-fire questions. We're done at 6:45 tonight because we're going to bring you a top 10 showdown in the ACC, Virginia at North Carolina. That's coming up from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. 6:33 at WSBT. Sean and Darren with you. Virginia versus North Carolina coming up in 12 minutes here on WSBT Radio. Right now, rapid fire.
That should be a good game, by the way. I think we're all thinking. Well, let's start with this one, Darren, because Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner, announced today on Twitter that he's going to focus on becoming an NFL quarterback rather than play baseball in the Oakland A's organization. Straight and simple, do you think it's a good decision?
Well, it sounds like deep down in his heart, he wants to be a football player, mm-hmm. So you have to agree with the decision. I think from a financial standpoint, it makes a whole lot of sense to go down this road. If you're a first-round pick, you'll be with your team 4 years plus an option year for the team, so quarterbacks are going to be around for 5 years. So when he hits 26, 27 years old, if he has been successful, he's going to hit the lottery. If he is an elite quarterback, he's going to make over $30 million a year. Meanwhile, baseball, you lose the signing bonus. He had to give some of that back. You're going to have to ride the buses in the minors. The A's are in the Midwest League. Their affiliate is Beloit, and it's a tough stadium to be a home player, just with facilities, town, etc.
Okay.
So, to me, it makes a whole lot of sense. If football doesn't work out, you can always go back to baseball.
Yeah, and I think that what this came down to, and I think you kind of mentioned this, in his tweet, he said, football has been my love and passion my entire life. And I think that you win the Heisman Trophy, you have the kind of year that you have, and everyone's projecting you now to be probably a top 10 pick or at least a first-round pick. You might as well give it a shot. I mean, you've got, look at Baker Mayfield. Size was supposed to be his biggest disadvantage. But all these offenses now, And especially once they got rid of Hugh Jackson in Cleveland, they suited the offense mm-hmm. to Baker Mayfield. And we're seeing more and more of that in the NFL, where they're not trying to fit the quarterback to the system. They're making the system fit these quarterbacks like Murray, Mayfield, whoever they happen to be, once they get to college. And so I think that's going to give him maybe a better chance. Size is still going to be a thing, but we know the guy can play. He's an exciting player. Career longevity is the biggest thing, because we know that in baseball that you can have a much longer career. But at the same time, let's say he's 21 years old now. So let's say he does this for 4 years, and if it doesn't work out at the end of 4 years, you've got a pretty good amount of money sitting in your bank account still. And if you really want to give baseball a shot, I think 25, you've still got an opportunity to go give it a shot if you want to.
Football brings you immediate gratification. Yeah. You go straight to the NFL. Baseball, you have to ride the buses.
It's tough. I mean, that's something I know Jeff Samardzija really struggled with when he was still in the minor leagues. And now he wasn't sitting at the low-level minor leagues like most guys either, but I know it bugged him that he wasn't up with the big club, and instead he was at AA and AAA and doing that thing. So, like you said, I mean, you're sitting there in single A and low A and whatever else. I think that would really be tough, especially when you're used to stadiums with 70,000-80,000 people cheering for you. Okay, excuse me. On this date in 1990, Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson. Is that the biggest upset in sports history, or do you have another nominee for the biggest upset in sports history?
Boy, that's got to be right up there. I mean, I will always think of the 85 Villanova Cinderella run to the championship, beating Georgetown. What, they shoot 79% from mm-hmm. the field to take down the mighty Hoyas? That Villanova upset, I think it's going to be always in my eyes one of the greatest upsets of my lifetime. Nothing else stands out off the top of my head, but yeah, Buster beating Mike. I mean,
do you believe in miracles?
Would you put that up there? Yeah, that's got to be there too. You're right. Yeah, the college kids beating the Russian Red Army team in the Olympics at Lake Placid. Yeah, that's probably got to be number one. Glad you brought that one up.
You know, it's interesting. If I hadn't watched, they did I think it was a 30 for 30 recently, like within the last month or so, about Buster Douglas, that whole fight in the lead up to that. And if I hadn't watched that, I would probably put that up there. But Buster Douglas was actually pretty good. It's just that Mike Tyson was beating the pulp out of everybody, and so nobody really gave Buster Douglas a shot in that thing. And the fact that they had to send it to Japan, and you know, there really wasn't a whole lot of buzz for it. So if I hadn't watched that, I think I might put this up there. But I my mind went to the first place you said to, 85 Villanova over Georgetown. Still remember watching that game. Super Bowl III, the Jets over the Colts and Joe Namath and that milestone game. But I'm gonna go Miracle on Ice. I think I would put that at the top of the list. As you said, college students beating the great Soviet hockey team, and the fact that they had just been pulverized a couple of weeks before that in that tune-up at Madison Square Garden. So I'd put that right up there at the top of the list.
I love it. Hockey at the top of the list.
There you go.
It's a beautiful thing.
There you go. You know, we still haven't had a chance to talk about any of these proposed baseball changes. And it's been a while now. What do you think about universal DH, for one?
Well, you know my answer to that. As a National League fan, it's just awful.
Awful. I realize strategy and from a purist standpoint, but do you go to a game to see a manager manage, or do you go there to see the best players hit the ball, hopefully? That's.
I will say this. This hurts my argument. Since so many teams are going to 8-man bullpens, sometimes you only have 4 position players, and it's taking strategy away. Plus, starting pitchers usually don't bat a third time anymore.
Yeah.
So, honestly, the way the game has changed with the use of bullpens and limiting starters' usage, it has taken away some of the strategy in the National League, which hurts the anti-DH arguments. And that's, I hate true. To say that, but it's reality. I will say this, and I'm hoping we can talk about this later in the week, But the rule where a pitcher has to face three batters,
right,
that would actually, I think, bring some of the strategy back into the game if the DH becomes universal. Because if you have, for example, Rizzo and Bryant back-to-back, if you have a pitcher who gets lefties out but gets hammered by righties, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you bring in that lefty to get Rizzo? Or if it's Carpenter, Goldschmidt, same situation. You've got a big decision to make because then they have to stay out there for two more batters.
It probably also starts to change the way you evaluate guys when you're scouting them, whether it's college or high school or whatever, because it's one thing to have fastball, slider, curveball, but the development of that changeup mm-hmm. is the big thing. If you're talking about a lefty trying to get out a righty and vice versa. So now all of a sudden you're not a lefty who's just going to come in and try to plow it or, you know, throw a slider, a curveball past another left-hand batter. You're going to have some other pitches if you're going to be effective against guys on from both sides of the plate.
Biggest problem is still tanking, and baseball is blind to that. Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. The dental offices of Dr. Jeffrey S. Mader, providing beautiful smiles and exceptional dentistry. DPM Events. Visit dpmevents.com.